Welcome to the Money Rules Podcast, where we tackle your personal financial matters with leading financial advisors. Your host, Boitumelo Ntsoko.
Real estate investment has long been considered a reliable strategy to accelerate wealth accumulation. However, one of the most critical decisions investors face when acquiring a property to enter the rental market is choosing between letting it on a long-term lease or opting for short-term rentals. To help us make sense of each option and its pros and cons, we're joined by Craig Tor, who is a certified financial planner at Crewe Invest. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you, Jimmy. No, it's lovely to be able to talk to you again.
Before we start, please don't forget to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, share this podcast with your friends, and download our episodes for easy listening on the go. Craig, could you start by explaining why real estate is still considered a sound investment?
Jimmy, yeah, I think it's something that we know and understand, and we trust real estate. You know, it's a physical asset, so we can see it. We don't feel too much anxiety about it because we kind of feel that the value is always there. You know, it's got sort of two components to it, if you like. One is that you have a reasonable amount of certainty that the property will grow in value over time. So you'll get capital appreciation on the physical asset. And then, you know, there's the added benefit of if you ever decide to rent that property out, you can earn rental income. So if you add those two components together, it's a very good way of making sure that your money outpaces inflation. So yeah, it's just worked really well for many people over centuries.
Craig, as I mentioned in my intro, one of the critical decisions investors face is choosing between long-term leasing and short-term rentals. Could you walk us through the main attractions and challenges of long-term leasing?
Yeah, I think one of the big attractions is that the income stream is very predictable. So you're typically going to get a tenant in on a long-term lease. So it's fairly simple. You've got very low turnover costs. So, you know, for example, you know, if the person comes and rents, they're likely to stay for a number of years. So you don't have a lot of sort of operational demands that you'd have on the short-term side, which we'll cover later. So it's a lot less time intensive as the landlord, and you can even outsource that functionality. You know, on the challenging side, you do obviously give up some flexibility. So if you, for example, you know, if you own the property and you wanted to use it for a period of time, you maybe not be able to use it if you've got a long-term tenant in. And you'd also have limited access to that property. And then I think from the one issue that we've noticed is that it's very difficult for landlords to increase rent during difficult times, not just from an economic point of view, but also from a sort of a moral standpoint. They develop a relationship with the tenant, and as a result, they find it very difficult to push through a rental increase, for example, that keeps pace with inflation when they're fully aware that their tenant is going through a difficult time. So there's a lot of an emotional attachment to the tenant that can be harmful to a long-term lease.
Now let's talk about short-term rentals. What makes them an attractive option for investors?
Yeah, so typically this would be a sort of a beach house type environment or an apartment on, you know, down at the coast where you're hoping to get some dual use out of it. So it's a bit of a lifestyle asset. And I suppose the big benefit there is that you've got this flexibility, potentially also higher income because your stays are short. So these shorter stays can attract a higher rental income. But obviously with that comes, you know, increased workload, because if you're having turnover of guests, like an Airbnb scenario, you needing to, you know, get the place in order for the next guests. So you could have quite long periods of vacancy. Off seasons can be quite long. So you need to just be aware of that. So there's a lot of variation in the income, you know, and I think that's where it's a lot less predictable and difficult to predict cash flow. And typically these properties can be in sort of seaside resorts, smaller resorts, prone to higher property capital valuations over time. So there, you know, it can be a lot of uncertainty around the current value of the property. So there are a number of things to think about on that short-term side, but there certainly are advantages.
You actually just touched on quite a few challenges there. Are there any other ones that we need to be mindful of as well when it comes to short-term rentals?
Yeah, I think, you know, the big issue with the short-term rental and the big benefit, I should say, is that if you're purchasing an asset for your lifestyle, like a beach house, it does make a massive difference to the affordability, what you could afford. You know, so that's a big consideration, and that's what a lot of beach house owners do, to be able to afford a beach house that potentially they wouldn't have been able to afford if they weren't renting it out. So that whole dual purposeness is what makes it affordable, as well as a potential retirement asset, because there is the capital appreciation on the building, and then there is the revenue stream that comes from that. Although it might not be the very best available, it's because you are getting a lifestyle benefit as well, it makes it worthwhile.
Craig, investors are always looking for ways to minimize risk and optimize returns. What strategies would you recommend in both instances?
Yeah, I think, you know, the important decisions are around the property that you purchase and the tenant that you're going to get in, and then just making sure your lease agreement is watertight, you know. So if you look at the property, most of your capital appreciation is essentially going to be made on the price you pay for the property. So it's important to get a property at fair or below fair value if you want the capital appreciation side of the equation to work for you. Because typically property globally tends to keep pace with inflation. There are a couple of regions in the world, certain times in market cycles, that it exceeds that. But the norm is just to kind of keep pace with inflation. So you need to be able to identify a property, choose the right property, you know, and make sure that you're not overpaying for it. When it comes to sort of tenant selection, that's a critical issue as well. So it's important to do your reference checks, etc., credit checks, and just make sure that you have a reliable tenant who's actually going to pay you on time, because getting rid of a tenant that is, you know, not paying the rent is not as simple as one would imagine. So yeah, those are quite important. And then you can also diversify the portfolio. You know, having one single property in one street in one city is a lot more risky, for example, than owning properties in various suburbs and also different use properties. You know, so you might want to diversify between residential and commercial, for example. So that'll also reduce the risks over time if you can do that. So yeah, those are the sort of main issues there.
And how important is it to understand the local market and regulatory environment when venturing into the rental property market?
Look, it's critical, you know, especially from a tenant rights perspective, you know, just to understand what the tenant's rights are and what rights you have as a landlord. I think that's a starting point, because you might not want to deal with that hassle. You know, for example, to evict a tenant who's not paying, you know, you'd need to get a court order. You can't just go and willy-nilly, you know, change the locks and turn off utilities. That would land you in hot water with the authorities. So there's a lot of regulation protecting the tenants, you know, so it's important to understand that. And then also just to have a realistic cash flow model, so you are not caught with surprises down the line. You know, make sure that you build in some tenant risk, have a budget for maintenance, make sure that you're including all the costs that that come with owning a property, like your household insurance and security, you know, garden services, rates, et cetera, et cetera. Just so that as a landlord, you have realistic expectations and you've got a cash flow model. So it also help you when it comes to deciding what rent increase you need to push through the next year.
Craig, just as we wrap up, are there any final pointers you'd like to leave our listeners with when weighing both options?
I think the main sort of consideration here is, you know, why are you actually buying the property? for renting purposes? Are you doing it purely for the money, or is it to ensure that you can enjoy a sort of a dual purpose property that you could use for your holidays and earn some rental income from? And I think once you've made that decision and you follow the line of thought that we've gone through on the rest of the issues, you know, that should help you make an appropriate decision for your needs.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode, Craig.
Thank you so much, Jimmy.
That was Craig Torr, who is a certified financial planner at Crew Invest. If you enjoyed the show, please make sure to follow us for the latest episodes, share the podcast with your friends, and download our episodes.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Money Rules podcast. To listen to more, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.